Let's give a great big hand for John, who I love so dear. He comes with an honest heart, you know, transparent in the love of God. And that's all that we can ask for and hope, that we are like an image of him, yet at the same time, we don't put on our cloak of righteousness, but we put our righteousness through him. Even though that we all fall short of the glory of God, our righteousness rests in God, and because we can glorify his name, then we become his image. And when we hold that transparent place and putting our trust in him at all times, that's true worship. So with that being said, let's give the Lord another hand of praise for that love of God. Amen? Amen. You know, I'm looking to move forward in what God is saying in this hour. And he wanted me to actually begin to start explaining and come to a place of what is the gospel? What actually is the gospel? And why do we even need the gospel? And most people thought that the gospel, or they still imagine that the gospel is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In the King James Bible. And some think it's the story of Jesus, the gospel of Jesus, and the message of his life and how God used him as a lamb to be slain for the sins of the world, when the reality was that, you know, the gospel is like good news of saying that sin is no longer counted against us. I'm flowing now in grace and I'm flowing now in glory. And I believe God is opening up all of our eyes today and in this hour of what it is to be in grace and what it is to be in glory. And, you know, I want to share to the world out there the importance of knowing the gospel and what truly the gospel means. There's a misconception of what the gospel is. The gospel is good news, but at the same time, the gospel is an unquestionable truth. That's what the gospel is. It's an unquestionable truth. And with that being said, everyone, and I truly believe this in the bottom of my heart, every person out there are good. They are all good. Now, Jesus made a comment to say, "Don't call me good, only my Father in heaven is good." But what he was trying to say is, you know, I don't want to be recognized. I don't want pride to rise up. I don't want to be recognized as being a good person. You know, I want to decrease so that he can increase. And that's what his whole intentions was. And that, yes, we all fall short of the glory of God. And yes, that we do have a deceivingly wicked heart that's inside of us. And all those things that go along to say that I'm not a good person. As an individual, that's where we want to be. Our heart wants to be established to say, don't call me good. You know, I'm subject to fall just like you are. I'm subject to fall short of his glory or fall into temptation just like you are. So don't call me good. You know, my works that I do in the Father. And, you know, let's glorify him and him only. And that's really where, you know, the true believers, the true followers, the true children of God are established in that area. But with that being said, the gospel message needs to come out. We are at war. And this is why the gospel message was originally intended. We are at war. And the war is powers and principalities and wickedness and darkness. And these powers are really not against you. Those powers are against God. These powers, these wickednesses, this principalities, these evil things, excuse me, we're in the pollen season, and everybody's getting attacked with pollen. But I'm going to drown it out. So God is being attacked, And where he's being attacked and how God is being attacked is by stripping away his worship. This is what the good news is all about. To show you that evil, darkness, powers, principalities, Satan, whatever you want to say, devils, are all trying to steal the worship and the glory of God. And through man, that's where God gets glory and worship. I want to share the importance of bringing the gospel across to mankind so they're not destroyed. Because not only are the darknesses, the powers and the principalities in high places trying to steal the glory and worship of God, but they're also there to destroy your life and cause you to be put in damnation for eternity. Not many people like to hear this, but it's true. And I'm going to share with you through scripture and break it down of what it really truly is and what the gospel means. And it's our job as believers to bring this truth to those that are perishing out there. The gospel is to bring us into salvation. The gospel is to bring us into an eternal life. The gospel is there to bring a life that has been given to you so that your life can come with ease, that you don't have to fight or struggle or war against it. God brings your life, whatever life he intended you to have, he brings it to you, and that we live it through worship. We live it through glorifying God and being grateful and thankful. And we just live that, and that in itself brings us something that we long for, peace and joy. How many people just want to be happy? They want to live a life that's fruitful, prosperous, you know, a life that is loving and giving and have peace and joy. Anything other than that, it's not a life. So let me share something in scripture with you, and it's in Romans. It's where Paul began to speak. And he said here, he says in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Notice how he says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Okay? It's very important because the message is that there is a light of goodness within inside of all of us. There is a life that is inside of us, a light. That light lives to an eternal realm. And he says, "For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who will believe." Now, what are they looking at as far as belief? For one, that there is a God. And this is what is happening, especially in this hour. Because of man, because of, let's say, the human race, it's rising up in knowledge, and their knowledge is being consumed with self. And in that, knowledge and self is puffed up, where they're saying in their heart, there is no God. You'll see what I'm talking about in a minute. And in order to bring somebody into salvation, they need to recognize that there is a God. And when they begin to recognize that there is a God, they come to a place of being thankful, so that they are recognizing God at all times and being thankful. In itself, that right there is salvation. But what happens is the will is strong. They say that they can do it themselves. They can do it without God. They don't look at God. They don't recognize God. Their eyes aren't on upon God. They're on themselves and basically what they need to do, and they're striving. How many people do you know that are just trying to figure it out and they're striving based on their impassions, just based on their life that's inside of them? And this is what happens. See, there, like we mentioned before, there are laws in heaven that heaven has to abide by. Amen? Okay. And when you don't begin to recognize God in the simple things of your life, I mean, I know that our forefathers tried to bring us into that place of recognizing God every time we had a meal. Let's say grace, you know, let's bless the meal. Let's thank God. These traditions of getting us to be aware of God are good in their aspects of always recognizing God. How often do we fall short of this in our own daily lives? Those that can say, I'm rooted in God, how often do we tend to get worried or get disturbed or unsure of what the future has holds for us? And because we don't know how the outcome is going to be, our heart is troubled because we're not putting our trust in God. How often is that in our own lives? Let's think about it. That's when he said, you know, when we walk in prayer, we deliver us from the evil one. Don't let us fall into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, because we're all subject to that. But when we put God first in our lives, we're delivered of that. And when we are full of troubles and torments and uncertainties and worries, and we begin to lean on our own understanding, guess what? You have not have God in your life. Even though you confess with your mouth, your heart is not established in God. The purpose of the gospel is to get people to understand that we are at spiritual warfare. And darkness wants to rob your life. Not really intentionally going after you, but going after God and the worship towards God. Darkness wants to be worshipped. How many people understand that one? Darkness wants to be worshipped. Darkness wants to have worship. And it's crazy, but it's true. And those who worship darkness, others who worship darkness approve them worshiping darkness. And darkness is being poured out right now like unbelievable. And this is why it's so important to get the gospel message out. Unfortunately, the gospel message has been, abused, and it caused offense. There has been, darkness has manipulated individuals to offend the message and brought the message incorrectly. They brought it through the life of Jesus and what he did in his life during, and what God used him as trying to bring across, there is no sin. And that through him is salvation and things of that nature. And it brought a lot of offenses through a lot of people. How many here alone have been across paths through that gospel message in your own life, and it was offensive? How many here? I know myself. It was like, you know, you live your life. Don't condemn me, please. You know, I'm a good person. I don't need to be condemned right now. And it seemed like the gospel message was just like a condemning message. That you have to, you know, believe in this story. You have to believe in this, you know, doctrine that is being told. And you have to listen or you're going to go to hell. And that's far from the truth. Far from the truth. And I'm going to share something here in Scripture, what Paul was trying to say. He says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. It says, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in righteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifested in them, for God has shown it to them. So basically, for what Paul is saying, then you cannot deny God. You cannot deny the nature of God and the universe of God. You look in the stars of the heavens and you see how they're hanging up there in the universe and how all the planets are set in place and the trees. Not many people dwell or think about these things. You know, how the sun rises up in the morning and sets in the evening and how the moon follows behind it, you know. People don't really, they take these things for granted, but it's in them. The attributes of God's creation is in them. So basically what Paul is saying is God has planted his awareness inside of all of mankind, so you can't say that there is no God. That's what Paul is saying. So for us to bring the gospel message to individuals should be relatively easy. You know, it's not hard to say, hey, worship God and him only. You know, you want your life to be straightened out. You want prosperity. You want to come to a life, and not only a life, but an eternal life. Start worshiping God. Start acknowledging God. Start acknowledging him in everything that you do. Give him praise, glory, and honor in everything you do, and you will see your life will be changed. Isn't that a simple gospel? That's a simple gospel, and I believe God is saying to us, this is what he is requiring from us in this hour. A simple message of worship God, recognize him. Then there's another part of this too. Be thankful in all things. And you'll see what I'm saying. Remember, there are laws in heaven that God can't change. It says, because that they may be known of God is manifested in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So they're saying that there, people cannot deny that there is a God. Cannot. It says in verse 21, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Now, and then it says, professing to be wise, they became fools. And that's a dangerous thing when you see people who think they know it all. They're really starting to become full of darkness when you have those people who think they know everything. But going back, there is a process in heaven that when you begin to start saying, because they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. There's a process that begins to take place. I call it, you begin to rot. When you don't glorify God and give him thanks in everything that you do and recognize him as who he is, as a deity, you begin to rot. You begin to rot. Okay? And I want you to know that the people out there are good people. Everyone I look at are good. The problem is they begin to rot. And through their rotten insides, they rot from the inside out. Through their rotting, their minds are given up. There is a realm in heaven that begins to start giving them over. Because it's as if they deserve to be judged in a way of not falling under the worship of God. And because they're not falling under the worship of God, it's like God begins to lay hell on them already. It's the beginning process of the natural realm of hell. hell begins to start manifesting in their lives. And all hell begins to break loose. And they do things that they don't want to do. They really don't want to do it. But because of the laws that are written in heaven, the only thing that can save us is through worship, okay? And being grateful. Worship and thankfulness is the only thing that can save us and bring us into a life. When we don't do this, you're given over into hell. You're basically coming into hell. Even though you're in the natural realm, okay? Because we can come into the spiritual realm of the kingdom of God, amen? Well, you can go into the spiritual realm of hell too, in the natural world. And God is calling us to become transformed into the renewing of our minds. But I'm going to tell you the process here first, in order for us to tell people to repent. In order for them to tell them, change the way you're thinking, you have to understand the process of how they got there. We didn't start out with bad thoughts. We never started out with these thoughts that are going to cause us to go down bad roads. How many would agree with me on this one? How many loved ones have you come across that you know deep down inside they're good people? They're good people. But the things that they're doing, why are they thinking that way? And why did they go down that road to cause harm to themselves? Simple as that. For example, how many of us known about that good boy, that good man who was beginning to start his life? He was in his 20s, I don't know, late 20s. He was really beginning to start a good life on a good road. I believe it was because worship was beginning to enter into his heart, his gratefulness. He realized that, you know, what God did through him, through the success that he was beginning to apply to his life, he picked himself up. And he was starting to do good, and then all of a sudden, he relapsed, walked down a bad road, and ended up ODing and dying. Broke my heart. He came here. This ministry introduced him to God, and he was glorifying God, but because he had no strong foundation, because he wasn't encamped around people with same like mind, same like spirit, went right back down to the wrong road. Guess what? I think he began to start levitating himself, and the worship of God began to decrease. And through the decreasing of the worship of God, drew him back down the wrong road and got him to go into things that affected his mind, and he OD'd. How many people know that guy I'm talking about? And it hurts my heart. And God is moving on my heart that the gospel has to be brought out. People need to be aware that we are at a spiritual war. And darkness does not want you to worship God. It's literally stealing worship from God, but it's going through you first. If he comes and attacks you and causes you to have distorted ways of thinking, then it will take the worship from God and he won't be glorified. How many people are following me on this one? Let me share something here. So because they went into this place where they did not glorify God, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts became darkened, professing to be wise, they became fools. A lot of times when people tend to find success or things get better in their lives, things start to go the way they want to go, they actually begin to take the glory of God away, and they begin to think that they're wise. as if they did something good. They begin to think that, you know, what they have done and what they have achieved and their goodness has brought them there. But the reality of it is, through your brokenness, God honored your heart's prayer and brought you there. But somehow or another, you have taken the glory because things are going well. How many people have fallen short of this glory? Because all of a sudden, things start going well and we forget about God. It's normal. It happens. But it's normal because the forces of darkness are there. See, darkness is crouching, looking to devour any moment they can possibly come into your life. And when they come is when everything is good. When everything starts to become like the pressures and things are starting to turn around and things are starting to look brighter and your life is starting to get picked up. And all of a sudden, the darkness knows and starts saying, now it's time to glorify yourself. Look at what you did. Look at how things are going. See, I told you you were right. I told you you were good. I told you you didn't do anything wrong. I told you this. And next thing you know, the praise and the worship is leaving our Creator. And we end up losing that worship. And then all of a sudden, you don't see it right away, but then you begin to decay and rot again. And then you're right back into that suffering place. How many people have been through sufferings and then they got out of sufferings and everything was good and then they went right back into sufferings and then everything was good and you're like a yo-yo. You know why you're a yo-yo? You're playing with the supernatural. You're worshiping God on your lows and then you're forgetting about God on your highs. And then you're worshiping God on your lows and you're forgetting about God on your highs. I'm going to tell you what's happening. You need to worship God in your highs too. You need to worship God in your lows and your highs. You have to have worship continually coming out of your lips, and you really need to decrease self. And you know how quickly self rises up within that? Very quick. A little leaven spoils a whole bunch, and I'm going to tell you right now, it happens. It happens to the best of us. That's why Paul was trying to say, listen, I'm the chief sinners of y'all. Don't come, you know, in me. Jesus was saying, don't call me good. We're all subject to fall from glory. Listen to me. My hearts are deceivingly wicked. I can fall into this trap, and I don't need to fall into this trap. It says here in verse 23, and change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creepy things. So they began to, what happened was they began to form idols. They began to worship things. In today's world, we don't have that many idols in the modern world, but we do have idols like our success, our money, our prosperity, our good fortune becomes an idol. Things that start to go our way, our blessings become idols, as if we did something, as we did it, not God. These become idols. And in the church, I'm going to point out some idols. And even in the Christian world, unfortunately, Jesus Christ became an idol. And I'll show you this in a minute. But, you know, it's sad how these things are given over. Because a law in heaven. See, God's sitting back weeping. He's like, just worship me and be thankful. Just worship me and be thankful. How much simpler can that be? Just worship me and be thankful. That's all God desires from us. But we're like yo-yos, you know? We go right back into the worship, and then we go back into the self-centeredness of worship, and then back into that. But let's talk about people who have never heard the gospel, who ever didn't even know about the truth, of this simplicity truth. They walk around with bitterness. anger, resentment, hatred. You might not see it, but these people are good people. But they choose not to worship God. Why is that? Because they just have been given over to vile passions and debased minds. People don't understand this, but there are laws that as soon as you refuse to worship God and recognize God as the Creator, He gives you over to weird thinking. And your thought patterns go really weird. And you begin to start having these crazy, vile passions. You begin to start going into things that are self-centered and self-feeding. How many people are understanding where I'm going? And they begin to be self-centered around a lot of things. Now, I can start pointing out a lot of things, but you can see it right now with your own eyes, what's being rampaged out there. What is being poured out, you know? You got all kinds of things that I'm not going to mention because I just don't feel like being under attack right now because I love everyone. And I want everyone to come to the gospel. But the problem is when they're already encamped in their vile passions and their debased minds, they don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear that they're doing wrong. And a matter of fact, a lot of them that are doing the same thing are giving them approvals and they're building up their approvals of allowing them to continue to think the way they're thinking and allow them to do what they're doing. Look, their thinking has gotten so enforced that it's starting to change the world that we live in right now. Wouldn't you agree? You wouldn't see the things that are happening in today's world like this, you know, even 10, 20 years ago. And that's why I realize that, you know, it's important for us to get this gospel out. How do you bring someone to a point of getting them to change the way they're thinking when in them they think that their thinking is correct? You can't tell them that they're a sinner because deep down inside, all of them are good and they know that they're good. But their thinking pattern has been perverted. Their thinking has been distraught by vile passions and debased minds. And so you're going to tell that individual to change the way they're thinking when in reality they have others around them that are agreeing in what they're doing? Birds of a feather begin to start flocking together, and then all of a sudden, you know, they find a group, and now all that group is empowering themselves more and more, saying that your thoughts are not, you know, wrong. So you got all them that are segregating themselves based in their lust, based in their self-centeredness, depending on what it is. It doesn't matter. They'll begin to group together. And then they'll enforce themselves and give themselves their own righteousness. But God is showing me a way to overcome that. Love them unconditionally, for one. Accept them for who they are because they're good people. Accept them. In my heart, I need to accept everyone. No judgment whatsoever. Okay? I'm going to tell you the keys to come around and beat the darkness. I'm going to show you how to beat the darkness. And lead them into giving God glory. Wow, look what God did in your life. You know, thank Him. Thank Him. And be grateful for what you have. Listen, I know it's tough. I know things are hard. I know things have come against you, and I understand that your life isn't perfect. But you know what? Thank God that you at least got a sound mind. Lead them to thankfulness. And also lead them into recognizing God doing these things through them or to them. Because as you begin to get them praising and worshiping God and being thankful, you're giving them the gospel power. You're giving them the power of God to bring them into salvation. I'm showing you how to save people without bringing religion into the category, into the equation. Because the people out there today don't want religion. They don't want to have nothing to do with religion. They're tired of religion. But God is saying to us, listen, I want them. I want them saved because there are laws in heaven. Because they didn't worship me, a little leaven spoiled a whole bunch. And because they didn't worship me, they began to worship the creation. Now that creation could be themselves. That creation could be, you know, people place things. It could be many, many things, that creation. But what is lacking is the Creator, worshiping the Creator. I see how the enemy came into the church, into the Christian world. The enemy came in like a white light. It was disguised and began to bring people to worship a creation. How many of us would agree that Jesus Christ was created by God? Was he not sent down from heaven? Was he God? Jesus never said, I only do what I say I do, and I never do what I do. Whatever. You got that one, right?
Never said he was God.
No, he never said he was God. He says, I do what the Father tells me to do, and I say what the Father tells me to say. Deception came in, and we have been deceived by worshiping the creation. God created them. God created them as a lamb for the remission of sin because he wanted to show that he didn't care about sin anymore. That's why I'm trying to tell everyone, if you want to lead people to salvation, you need to get religion completely out of your vocabulary. You got to get it completely out. And you got to begin to show them that they need to worship and thank God. Thank God. Recognize that God is doing these things in your life. And even yourself, we need to take self-exhortation out of our lives. When you do these things in secret, God rewards you openly. Now, I'm a big believer on testimonies. Amen? I have thousands of testimonies to give you. You see what I'm saying? We want to glorify God. We want to glorify him. We want to continue to glorify him. Don't stop giving testimonies, but glorify him. Keep glorifying him. And being thankful and grateful in everything that we do. Because we don't want to be subject to the laws that are in heaven. God is over here pleading for worship and to be glorified. Coming into the realm of glory, understanding grace and glory. And then what is happening is we lose that. Look, I'm at fault when things are good, you know. Tend to take my eyes off of God sometimes. We're all subject to that. It says here, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creepy things. Therefore, God also gave them up. See? Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanliness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor themselves among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. The church has to understand. The world needs to understand. Forget about religion. Religion is nothing more than a doctrine of do's and don'ts, rights and wrongs, a law made up by man and traditions of men. God desires pure worship and to be recognized as the Creator. I worship our Creator. The one that you can't see with eyes, but you worship him through faith. And through faith, you know that God does everything in your life. We have that foundation, amen? We know that we are rooted and grounded in this, but how easy is it for us to backslide? You see? I believe in these days that are up ahead, God is going to find those who are willing to yield themselves to worship. And I truly believe He is testing us to see if we're willing to lay ourselves down to worship and worship only. When you are proved and tested that you are laying yourself down to pure worship, I believe that there are going to be tremendous gifts that are going to fall upon you. In that, to save those that are lost through the gospel message. Through the message of serve God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And be grateful throughout everything. Because God has full control of your life. And if you give your life fully to God and worship Him, you will come into a not only a life here on earth, but you will come into an eternal life. Most of us have a strong will. All of us really have a strong will. And through that strong will, the enemy knows it. And he uses that strong will. And then he whispers in your ear and begins to start creating things that you will sympathize with the lie. And you become worshipers of the lie. This is how darkness grabs you. Your heart starts out with pure thoughts. And then it gets exalted by strong will. And through strong will, the enemy comes in and whispers lies, and you embrace them. And now you've taken the lies and worshiped the lies rather than the truth. You now put God aside, and you worship yourself. You worship the creation, not the creator. You'll be surprised, and I can point out many, many, many situations, not only in my life, but in yours too, of how quickly we are ensnared in how quickly this thing happens in our lives. Let's just take this one for an example. And I see it a lot because I'm, you know, here in the ministry, that when things are bad, people come to the ministry. When things are good, they tend to take a holiday. How many believe in this truth right here? Okay? Not many people want to accept this truth. Not many people want to accept this truth. But I'm looking out for your life. It gets to the point where it gets really bad. Watch. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. Because their will to want. It's their will to want. Everybody has wants. Amen? Everybody has dreams. Everybody has hopes. Everybody wants relationships. Everybody wants what they've been lacking. As soon as you get your wants, that's where it starts to happen. That's why Jesus said, not my will, but your will be done. He always had his heart not longing and desiring your will. How many right now have their wills being fulfilled right now? How many? I hope all of us, really, to be honest with you. This is not a trick question. But I will say this. If God chooses to take them away right now, where is your heart? Now, if your heart isn't glorifying God when those things are removed, I'm going to tell you where your worship is right now. Your worship is in your will. You are leaning towards vile passions and debased minds. I'm going to show you how darkness sneaks up and attacks us and robs and steals from us. How many really want to walk in God? How many want to have prosperity in your life where you're not tormented anymore? You're not full of sickness. Disease. I'm talking about rotting inside. I remember not too long ago, some of us were rotting inside, weren't we? Until we got the answer. And as long as those answers are still glorifying God, don't let our will be glorified as if we're good, as if we did something right. God is ultimately in control of our lives, and He could have made it go any way it can. I really don't think that that boy thought he was going to OD. But I know he was feeling good at that time when he went and thought that way. And then when he stuck that needle in his arm and shot up, I really don't think he thought he was going to OD. I bet he thought he was just going to have a good day. Because he was beginning to worship. Listen, especially if you have a call in your life, God's not playing games. Devastation can come like this. Just like this. No one knows when the Father's going to come. He can come as a twinkling of an eye. And He always seems to come when you're at your peak will. Which is a bad thing. It says here, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. And they cannot come to God to worship. Who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that means conviction. So these people were given over to a mind that caused them to do the things that are not fitting. Who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, which is conviction. How many of us did things and we felt convicted? And we chose to do them anyhow. Think about it. How many of us have done something knowingly that it was wrong, but we ignored the conviction because we like it? Think about it. Because we liked it. That little prick in your heart, maybe you should stop. But I'm having such a good time, I'm going to keep going. You ignored it. These are signs. These are warning signs for us that we don't fall into. Because a little leaven spoils a whole bunch. Listen to me. You know, it's almost like I can lay back and be passive in our walk with God and just tell everybody they're doing great, right? Never put up the warning flags. But then are we going to be one that'll be like, but Lord, Lord, I did all these things in your name. But He says, get away from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. That wouldn't be right on my end. That would be wrong. I have to lead us into the gospel. I have to show us how the enemy wants to rob, steal, kill, and destroy our lives, at the same time steal the worship from God. And also show us how easy it is, because we got such a strong will, to be that yo-yo in the church. How many of us are subject to being the yo-yo? It happens because we're not being aware that the traps are always set in front of us. You know that prayer, Lord, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from the evil one. That character of disposition in our hearts. You see? I'm going to end this. So there's a conviction that those who practice such things are deserving of death. Not only do the same, but also approved of those who practice them. And that's the part that we have to be careful for. Because you know what happens? They fade away. They fade away from the church. They fade away from the truth. they fade away. And that's kind of like what I saw that boy do. He came in, found the worship of God, recognized that all those things were happening because God was doing them through him. He developed the worship, then he reached that point, and then it was approved by those who were doing the same thing, and I can see probably 10 of them around the table. Come on, let's cook up some shit, you know? Let's cook it up. Let's be real. Let's be real. And that's where birds of a feather flock together. And you'll find yourself getting along with others and begin to start, because you love self so much, and this is the thing, because we're lovers of self, we're lovers of the creation rather than the creator, we begin to follow those with the same like mind in that area. Like alcoholics start hanging out with more alcoholics. You know, they go right back to their vomit. They find their old friends. They develop other friends that like the same habits that they like. They're drawn near to that. I just believe that we're getting close, that the glory of God is going to be poured out. And not only should we know the reason of preaching the gospel, because if you told me in the past, hey, Jim, do you think it's necessary to proclaim the gospel? I would say to you, no. Because my thoughts were the gospel was Christianity. The gospel was Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The gospel was the story of Jesus and how he died on the cross and the remission of sin and all that. And I would have told you the gospel is this. And I don't really want to tell you about the gospel because I don't really look at the gospel as the saving power of God. But I look at the gospel in a whole different way now. I look at the gospel as worship. That God has given you a life and you don't have to struggle anymore. We fight all the time because we have a strong will. And we fight, fight, fight. And when we overcome some of those little battles, who do you begin to start glorifying? I'm going to leave under this note. Let's show the world the simplicity of salvation. Give God thanks in all things. Let's accept them. Whether they're junkies, homosexuals, lesbians, gays, whatever you want to call them. If they are alcoholics, drug addicts. Maybe they're just haters. You know? Yeah, maybe they're just haters. Maybe they're just bitter. Maybe they're beat up and wounded so bad that they are just like in a pit. And they're complaining constantly. Have you ever ran into those people where they're just constantly complaining and you don't even want to deal with them? We have to show these individuals love, and at the same time accepting and showing them love, begin to show them that they need to change the way they're thinking in this one area. Start giving God thanks. If you tell people to stop doing what they're doing, I'm going to tell you right now, they're not going to do it. You're empowering them to continue to do it more. You can't tell me I can't do that. Watch this. Because they're already got turned over to vile passions and debased minds. I don't have time to read all the vile passions and the debased minds. I don't have time to do it all. But if you just go in Scripture and read them, you'll begin to understand what it actually is. And a lot of them, we're walking in them already and don't even know it. But to get out of it is to give God thanks all the time. Just start giving him thanks. So you tell those, start thanking God. Start thanking God. You know, I'll just a real quick testimony. And this is a testimony to show you the power of the gospel. Nothing more, nothing less. Because what I do is the power of the gospel. And the power of the gospel is the power of saving souls. There's a gentleman, a young boy, who is gay. And I loved him. Loved him. I showed him love. Didn't judge him one bit or another. And they say if you judge him, then you have that same thing. So I thank God I don't have that spirit of whatever. But I didn't judge him. There was no judgment. Because I knew that in his heart, he was good. It was just vile passions and debased minds. And I just loved him. And then I began to start telling him, just thank God. Look at the gift you got. Thank God. He dances and all. I said, thank God. Look at the gift you got. Thank God. And you know what? He started thanking God in his heart. And just recently, he broke up with his boyfriend. I'm telling you, he's going to be transformed. You see what I'm saying? You just start telling them to praise God, thank God. I'm going to tell you, God will clean them up. Because God's glory shows us inside and causes us to repent. You tell people to change the way they're thinking and repent, all you're doing is putting condemnation on them. We need, now us, yes, we understand. We have to change the way we're thinking. But to reach those that are out there, to reach the lost, I believe this is harvest time. And we're out there, we need to reach them. We need to reach them badly. They're all, everybody is good. Everybody is good. The problem is they're not knowing to worship God. All things come through him. We need to get them to start recognizing that. And tell them the power of worshiping God. When you begin to worship God, you stop fighting because now God fights the battle for you. And we should take this in our own lives. You have hopes and you have desires and you have dreams. And the reason why they're not all coming to pass is because we're not really giving thanks. We're not being grateful. We're not worshiping him. Even though we think we are and our mouth is saying it and all, our heart, you have to remember, the heart is a whole different world than your mind and your mouth. How many people understand that one? I got the red light. I got to end it. I'm not going to open up any ministry today. I want us to really grab hold of this truth. I really want us to grab hold because I want our lives to change. And when things are getting good, do all that you can to worship God and be grateful in all things because the enemy is out there looking to steal, kill, and destroy. And he's slick. He's been around longer than creation in itself has been around. It's smart. He's smart. He's not dumb. He's smart. He's smarter than all of us here put together 10 times fold. He's smart. And he's there to destroy you. And the more we puff ourselves up and the more we don't glorify God and all that, I'm going to tell you right now, you're done. You'll never reach the potentials that you have. And you'll just rot inside. And that rotting inside will lead to eternal life. And you'll rot eternally. And that's the moral of this message here. Glorify God. It's the true gospel. You want to know the gospel? You want to know the gospel? The gospel is the good news that you have access to worship and praise God and thank him for what he's doing in your life. Amen? Amen. Let us leave today worshiping God. Let us decrease so that he can increase. And then tell those that are in sin, we'll say, that they can receive salvation, they can be set free, that they can have a life. See, I'm going to tell you right now, everybody has hopes and dreams. And if you want them saved, then you say, do you want your hopes fulfilled? Do you want your dreams fulfilled? Do you have a passion inside of you? Then start thanking God that he has even placed that passion in you. And you'll see that you'll lead your life down that road of success. And they will. They will listen. You know why they'll listen? Because inside creation has been groaning to know God. But because of our will and the strong will, we turned from glorifying God. For some reason or another, will is connected to rebellion. And will has a hard time to worship God. It'll find everything else but worshiping God. The will is strong. and it will not worship God. For some reason or another, it's a mystery. But it's a rebellious spirit that has been brought down from the heavens, and that's why we're here. And the will has rebellion in it. And that will not surrender to worship. It will worship other things. It'll worship itself, and it'll worship other things. This is powerful truths that I'm giving you. I hope you receive them. And then you can understand why this conflict of the will is so important. We're fighting the will constantly. And we're also fighting principalities and powers. And those principalities and powers play with your will. And while they're playing with your will, it steals the worship from God. And that's how we go off. I truly believe that these people that were good never meant to be in the position that they're in right now. The drug addicts, they don't mean to be druggies. They're crying to be delivered. They're calling it a disease. It's not a disease. An addiction is not a disease. Alcoholism is not a disease. It's a curse. It's a curse because God gave you over to a debased mind. Your vile passions, your heart is not worshiping God. But if you change the way you think and you begin to start worshiping God today, he will deliver you from your curse. And I'm saying this to those that are listening over the net. There are thousands of people that are cursed right now, thinking that they have a disease. You might have cancer. You might have those types of diseases. They're not diseases. They're curses. And they're curses because you're not worshiping God. You start worshiping God, he'll set you free from those curses. Simple. It's a simple gospel message. This is the good news. It's simple. It's not hard. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. I'm going to bring this up to Sam. He's going to close us. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise for Pastor Sam. Amen? Amen.
You know, the scripture says there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end there is surely death. You know, it's easy to find fault in everybody else, but it's hard to find fault in yourself. I can find fault in everybody, but I can't find what I'm doing wrong. Amen. You know, when you see someone going down a path that's not good, but they repeated that path in the past, and it wasn't good then, and they were beaten, and they were corrected by God. Then they repeat that same path again. How do you go to that person and say, listen, you're doing wrong again. You're following the same exact path that you followed last time that got you beat up and beaten and trodden and downtrodden. It's hard. And I'm guilty of not going to someone. I'm guilty of just cutting them off and saying, I don't want to take that phone call from that person. They're following the same thing they keep doing over and over again and repeating the same things over and over again. And I just don't want to hear it. I mean, we're all ministers. And if someone's calling you, God's putting it on their heart to call you. Thank God they're calling you. Even if they're repeating the same issues and the same problems over and over again, that one time that you get that take that phone call might be the breakthrough they're looking for. Yeah, they repeated themselves over, and you're sick of hearing it because you see this person going down the same path over and over and over. And last time, God beat the crap out of you, and you just got released from this one. You go right back into the same avenue again. You don't learn. It's hard for me to see people go through this stuff and say, man, what am I going to say to you? I just cut them off. Stop hanging out. Stop. Don't call me. I don't want to hear it. But I'm wrong. Because I have the answer. You have the answer. There's a way that seems right to a man. Oh, this is from God. I know it's from God. It's for this person, for this person. But the end thereof is surely death. What are we doing with our time? I'm busy. Can't take the phone call right now. I'm busy doing my own thing, building my own kingdom. I'm just busy watching TV right now. Don't bother me. You say you want people. You say you want a church. But what are we doing with our time? If someone calls you in the middle of the day, what are we doing? Oh, I'm busy right now. Click. I don't have time for this person right now. Everybody's got issues. And they're all crying out. And you better thank God they're crying out to you. It's not a headache. God's trying to set them free and use you to do it. And it might be 20 times they call you. Listen, God said forgive them 70 times 70. Just keep forgiving them. Who cares? Like Pastor said, don't worry. Who cares? Just love them. If they call you, give them truth. Like he said, you can't go up to someone who's in doing wrong and say, listen, you're doing wrong again. I told you last time, you didn't listen. You went right down the path again. You repeated the same thing you did before, and it's occupying all of you again. And now you're a mess. That's not love. Love is, you're almost there. Come on. Like John said, follow me. Come on, you're almost there. One more step. One more. That might be the phone call that changes their life. So just be open to what God's doing and be used. And don't let your life steal these great joys God could give you. Don't let your busyness steal this stuff. Don't let your obsession with whatever you're creating in your own life steal. Because this might be the last phone call before they... might be the last one they're calling before they end their lives. Oh, I thought I could trust these people. I thought they were the last real people in the world. And they're not. But we are. We really do have a gift here. We really do have life, and life eternal. But we got to be open to be used. It's about him and his kingdom, not mine and my kingdom. He wants to use you, so be open. Amen? Father, I just ask that you take our eyes off of everybody else and put them on us. And search our hearts, God, like David said. Search my heart. I will be pleasing to you. Search my heart. And stop me from doing anything that's not glorifying you. Guide my path. Guide my steps. And use us, Father. Use us. Let them call us. Let them call us on the phone. Let them reach out to us and let us give them the truth and the love that sets them free. In your name we pray, Father. Have a great week, guys. Wednesday night service, 7:30. Please come on out. It's a great night for fellowship. If you can make it, make it. If not, log on, listen to the website. There have been great messages. We've been going a different avenue a little bit, but I think you'll really enjoy it. Amen? God bless.